morning, everyone. Hi. Nice to see you all on this beautiful morning. Let's start with the preparation. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Hear our voice, O Lord, according to your faithful love. According to your judgment give us life. Holy God, as we meet today together, we ask that you will renew our love for you. Open our eyes, we pray, to see fresh things. Open our ears to hear with greater clarity. Open our minds to recognize new ideas. Make us willing to grow and change and become more like your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
And so we turn to a song of penitence, words taken from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my faults. And my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your gracious Spirit. Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Loving God, in whom all things are possible, for giving us the time, encourage us to change and grow.
We thank you with all our heart.
For giving us the desire to change and grow, we thank you
with all our mind.
For giving us the opportunity to change and grow,
we thank you with all our soul.
And for giving us when we rush, judge, and deny others those same opportunities.
We thank you with all our strength.
Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8. We say together, my soul is athirst for God, even for the living God. O God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. My soul is athirst for you. My flesh also faints for you, as in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So would I gaze upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory. Your loving kindness is better than life itself, and so my lips shall praise you. I will bless you as long as I live and lift up my hands in your name. My soul is athirst for God, even for the living God. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My soul is athirst for God, even for the living God. To you we come, radiant Lord, the goal of all our desiring, beyond all earthly beauty, gentle protector, strong deliverer. In the night you are our confidence. From first light be our joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Now to the first reading, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that had all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by the snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning are words taken from Psalm 55. And we begin by saying together, return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy, to our God, who will richly pardon. As the rain and the snow come down from above, and return not again, but water the earth, bring forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread to eat. So is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me fruitless, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the task I gave it. Return to the Lord who will have mercy, to our God who will richly pardon. Glory to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And now to the second reading from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but it did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Last week, our lectionary reading was the end of Luke chapter 13, and now we turn to the beginning of that chapter. Having heard Jesus' lament over the state of Jerusalem, we return to Jesus' teaching and a parable. If we look at the context of the passage, some tragic things have happened. Things that were so horrific that people were asking, why? I think that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Why have over 6 million people died from COVID-19? Why have the terrible things that have happened in Afghanistan, Yemen, and Syria appeared to have gone unchecked? Why? Oh, why have tyrants been allowed to unleash such terror in Ukraine? Why? Against the context of Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, different tragedies had occurred. Some pilgrims had come to Jerusalem for the Passover. They had been butchered by the Roman troops in the temple while they were making sacrifices. The report of the massacre is thoroughly in keeping with Pilate's character, although this particular incident was too unimportant for Josephus to write about it in his history of the period. Some news just drops off the radar, doesn't it? Why, people were asking Jesus, why did that happen? Jesus' response to the story was to contradict the Orthodox Jewish belief that the greatness of the calamity suffered by these people indicated that they were unusually wicked sinners. I assume that was not the answer the people were expecting. They wanted to know why those people had been killed. Why had they died? They were just fulfilling their religious duties. Instead of answering directly, Jesus adds a second story about suffering. 18 people were killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell on them. It would be foolish, Jesus said, to conclude that this was because they were sinful. It was an accident. But be warned, says Jesus, the whole Jewish nation is sinful and needs to repent. The people's desire to know why such things happen is interesting. Asking the question why is, I think, part of being a human being. Most children go through the why stage when they're growing up, and it can be very painful, both as a parent, a grandparent, and a teacher. But we crave to know why things happen, to make sense of so much that is mysterious and senseless. Jesus can see beyond the people's question. He understands two things. Firstly, He understands that the people have already decided the answer to their question, why. They think it's because bad things happen to bad people. And Jesus can also see that in asking the question, why, people are distancing themselves from it. It becomes all about them over there, other people, people not like us. Jesus cuts through that and points the finger, making it personal. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So how do we make sense of all the suffering in the world? How do we respond to all the terrible and tragic scenes we have witnessed lately? I am sure none of us would say what the crowd were thinking. Bad things happen to bad people. But what do we say, especially those of us who have faith in God? Do we suddenly quote Bible verses? God will never give you more than you can bear, or hardship produces character and character produces faith, or I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, or never mind, God is in control. Or do we say there's always someone worse off, or, and this is the one I find the most difficult, there but for the grace of God. Do I really mean that God's grace is just for the chosen few who have charmed and easy lives and not for those who are acutely suffering? How easy it is for words and phrases like that to spill off the tongue, but it's confusing. I love some of those Bible verses. I believe in those Bible verses, but sometimes they don't help much when faced with terrible suffering. And if I'm honest, sometimes when I say such things, it's because I don't know what else to say. I think it is worth noting this morning what Jesus says in answer to the question of human suffering that were put to him. What Jesus says is, repent, turn around, don't distance yourself from suffering, don't just talk about it, do something about it. On Friday afternoon, I attended a webinar about the Ukrainian crisis and the church's response to it, particularly here in Devon. It is worth looking on the Diocese of Exeter's website if you've got a computer. There's information, prayer resources, and the opportunity to express an interest to offer accommodation to refugees. As you are probably aware, over 150,000 people signed up to the government scheme to register accommodation last week. But there is a problem. You must be able to give a named contact before you can be linked to a refugee. The Diocese of Exeter have partnered with a charity called Citizens UK who can provide contacts. They will also provide ongoing support. It is hoped that Devon will be able to receive 1,000 refugees by Easter. The Diocese and Citizens UK are asking for people to express an interest. And if they find 50 offers of accommodation by tomorrow, they can proceed to the next stage. Registering an interest does not mean you are committed now or that you will definitely receive a refugee. Do please ask me more about it or go to the diocesan website. It's one small way of answering the question of suffering. However, Jesus answers the question by telling a parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but could not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. I think Jesus tells a story so that people will engage with the meaning rather than spouting meaningless words and phrases. The fig tree occupied a favored position. It wasn't unusual for fig trees or other trees to be grown in vineyards. The landscape was so dry, trees were grown wherever there was soil. In addition, all the people listening to Jesus would have known that in Hebrew scripture, the fig tree represented the Jewish nation, God's people. But the tree had not produced any fruit and was therefore useless. The only thing for it was for it to be destroyed, and then the ground could be used to plant another tree which would bear fruit. But the vine dresser asks the owner for another chance. The vine dresser commits to caring for the tree in the hope that it will bear fruit. If it doesn't, the tree will be destroyed. God calls us to live fruitful lives. He calls us to weep with those who are weeping. He calls us to stand up for justice, the justice we long to see in the world. He calls us to show mercy and compassion when we see cruelty and a lack of pity. He calls us to be generous and kind when we see poverty and malice. In other words, Jesus calls us to walk in repentance and to grow and tend something beautiful, really beautiful, in our lives and in our communities, and to bear fruit wherever we can, while we can. Let's do it. Amen.
Thank you, Steph. Let's now pray together. God of all, we weep for the pain of our broken world in a dry and weary land where there is no water, and where our choices often lead to pain, not joy. We cry to you for healing, hungry for hope. We look to you for the bread of heaven and the water of life. We call on you, our God. Feed us and strengthen us. God of all, we mourn the senseless loss of life as a boat carrying refugees capsizes off the coast of Libya. We long for governments to create a fair and humane settlement program. While we watch and pray, we remember the dead and seek justice, and we recommit to opening our hearts and our homes, saving who we can, when we can. Reaching out to others with the generosity we have received from you. Hungry for hope, we look to you for the bread of heaven and water of life. We call on you, our God. Feed us and strengthen us. God of all, we lament the failure of peacekeeping and peacemaking. As war rages across Ukraine and fresh fighting breaks out in the Darfur region of Sudan, and hunger spreads across the land and people starve in war zones. As armed groups attack civilians in Ethiopia, and acts of brutality are committed against the innocent here and elsewhere. We long for the protection of the vulnerable. We pray for the safety of journalists telling the truth in war zones, for the freedom of voices that challenge the status quo, for the laying down of arms for the end of armed conflict. Hungry for hope, we look to you for the bread of heaven and the water of life. We call on you, our God. Feed us and strengthen us. God of all, We despair at our disregard for the welfare of our precious planet. As demonstrators gather in Brazil to stand for the Earth against destructive environmental bills, we pray for wisdom and long-sightedness to prevail as our world struggles with the challenge of conflict, war, and climate change. We know the darkness of human hearts and our desire for self-aggrandizement. Fill us with your love. Send out roots down deep in your world. And when the moment comes for us to use our influence for good, may we be ready to answer your call. Hungry for hope, we look to you for the bread of heaven and the water of life. We call on you, our God. Feed us and strengthen us. God of all, for peace of mind and heart, as children of war struggle with trauma, we know too that many are struggling in our neighborhoods and families. People who are fearful for the future, lonely, bereaved, or ill in mind or body. In silence, we name before you the people we know who need your help. And Lord, in silence, we name before you the people who also need your healing. Jacques, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Addie, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, and Joe. May the needs of each person be fed with kindness and love. Hungry for hope, we look to you for the bread of heaven and the water of life. We call on you, our God. Feed us and strengthen us. God of all, we hold on to your promise that you will come close to us when we call on you. So we lift up our hands and speak your name in all the troubles of this world and in the waywardness of our own hearts. In the shadow of your wings, may we find rest, fresh vision for the future, and strength to carry on. Hungry for hope, we look to you for the bread of heaven and the water of life. We call on you, our Lord. Feed us and strengthen us. Amen. And the collect of the third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And now to the Lord's Prayer, trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, our Redeemer, show us compassion and love. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's been such a lovely morning. Do please consider joining us for the coffee morning on Wednesday morning, or for Compline and a short Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and put in your diary Maundy Thursday, where we're having an Agape meal at Calverley Village Hall. If you would like to come to that, if you could let me in the church office know. You are all very welcome. I hope you have a great day. By the way, when I was talking about the refugees, if you know anybody who can speak either Ukrainian, Russian or Polish, it would be good for us to try and identify those people in advance. And do please pass on the information about the contact system with the diocese, which is open to absolutely everybody, not just churchgoers. Anybody can can use and utilise that particular system. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you very much for joining us. Telephone us. We will try and phone you this week with the new details of how to phone. Well, congratulations to all of you who've made it on the telephone. It's wonderful to have you with us, and I hope that has worked for you. And hope to see you next week. God bless. Bye-bye.